Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Dorothy Mackey Show. Dorothy Mackey is a human rights advocate, and she's on National Network in Action, usually at 3 p.m. every Tuesday. Today it's 4 p.m., but we publish the schedule for the shows on the Mary Loves Justice pages at Facebook and Google Plus. In case something changes, you can always check there. The guests are invited to call in at 818-572-2947. Reverend Mackey discusses human rights issues such as CPS, enforced adoptions, child abuse, military sexual abuse, and TIs. Those are just some of the subjects that Reverend Dorothy Mackey discusses. Reverend Mackey holds degrees in law enforcement and works in that area. She's worked in that area for a good number of years. Her degrees include a BS in political science, a master's in public administration, and an equivalent degree in federal contract administration and negotiation. She was awarded the highest honors of summa cum laude. Reverend Mackey served honorably in the U.S. military as both a captain and a commander, and she's also an ordained minister. National Network in Action is proud to present Reverend Mackey to our audience each Tuesday. Both National Network in Action 1, that's NNIA 1, and Human Rights Demand radio channels are hosted by Mary Loves Justice Neal, that's yours truly. National Network in Action is directed by Reverend Floyd Harris Jr., an activist minister in Fresno, California. Please see the program schedule at our URL. That is mljradio.blogspot.com. Again, that's mljradio.blogspot.com. Now, your questions and comments are invited for all shows. You are included. You are our audience, and we hope that you have comments and questions about the subject matter that we present. We at National Network in Action are committed to bringing quality programs to educate, motivate, energize, mobilize, and organize to take our audiences to a higher level of awareness and inspire Americans to demonstrate a strong commitment to justice for all. Justice for all. And we encourage you to get up and stand up for your rights.
Leave it alone.
like red sun will come from the sky and take away everything and make everybody feel high. But if you know what your life is worth, you will look for your answers. So know it is the life. I begin you to stand up for your right.
Never give up the fight. And we bring to you now a woman who knows about fighting. As I said, she was in the armed services and served honorably in high positions. She's a human rights advocate. I give to you Reverend Dorothy Mackey. How are you, Reverend Mackey?
I'm good, and I apologize for not being able to be with you for several weeks. There were things that obviously we all have to deal with at times, and I had to actually go about dealing with a group of things that obviously could not be set aside. So now that I'm back, please know that as we proceed, it's very important to begin going to alternative methods of learning information. You know, as far as I can tell, if you do not have the ability to get to a really good library, and you always have to, when you look at an author of any book, you may want to go and begin researching before reading the book the background of that author, for the sole reason of you will find what their political, religious, or their perceptions are. And if you understand that they're coming in from a certain type of perception or belief system, then you will possibly understand that their writings are going to be based on their leanings and beliefs. So if you're looking more at a factual book versus someone's belief systems, and it's really very important to begin looking at everyone's belief systems so that you are aware of what you and your children are walking into in their lives. These are important so that for those that you do not share their belief systems or the way they walk through the world, that you can at least become familiar with their thought processes. And now you're never going to get absolutely everybody's belief systems in one or two or three books. But it is important to understand that while we as Americans want to say that we are all joined, that we all fully support and believe because we're under the auspices of one nation, we clearly historically have not seen that that has occurred. Again, a lot of the stuff which has been hidden, kept away from people, because, again, part of that is it making their lives very busy and keeping them distracted and all the things that go into parenting and raising kids and all the other distractions in the world. The other is that denial of being fully aware that not all education systems are equal. So, simply put, people in poor communities don't get the same level of education to those who are in the more wealthy communities. And while that may sound a common sense factor, one would think, then how is it that people who are wanting to work and have goals and ambitions and aspirations, how then is it that they are denied these abilities to know information that we say we're all should be? All information should be made available to all of us so that we can equally strive in a positive direction for our nation. And that really is what it's coming down to. What has been going on, that there appears to be even different legal systems that are working depending on what level of society you exist in. And that society is based on power and money. Yet, we have always been told throughout our country that no one is above the law. Well, I guess the question is, what then is the law? So, and we're going kind of from one direction to the other, okay? I think part of the whole idea of this conversation is to, in part, begin to look and, for people who are going through a lot of processing, understanding their own lives, and begin to look at the practices that are happening, where we hear metaphors all the time, such as, do as I say, not as I do, which means unequalness. We hear Supreme Court rulings such as Plessy versus or Brown versus Board of Education, which was all education cannot be unequal. That came out of the civil rights movement, and yet what we have commonly and continually see that education clearly is totally unequal. And yet we're supposed to be working in the same direction with each other, despite the fact that we're supposed to have the ability to speak and to share and to discuss ideas, ambitions, and what's going on for a democratic society. I heard some interesting comments that in a purely democratic society, what that means is the majority rules. And one person who was talking about this rule was, back in the day, that meant if they wanted to lynch a person, hang a person, then the majority who felt that a person was guilty of something could, in fact, do that. I also will share with you, and I sent this to Mary as a listener, if you have the ability to watch History 2, which is the channels, TV channels, you can also go to YouTube Video, History 2, they have on the, again, History 2 channel, it's called The Bible Rules is the title. The subtitle you want to put it in is, and there are, I believe, three or four different sections. It's for a nominal fee if you do not have the channel on your TV. But on YouTube, it's about $1.99 per showing, and they're approximately 45 minutes each. And the first is the curse, okay? So, again, you would put H2, the Bible rules, and then the curse is the first episode. You put the next episode, which would be H2, the Bible rules, R-U-L-E-S. And then you can put in that one, Ancient Vice, Ancient Vice, V-I-C-E. And then the third installment is, again, H2, The Bible Rules, and then War. Now, it's important to listen to these and to take notes. Always have paper and pencil so you can take notes and begin to reflect upon this information that these scholars and other people are saying and sharing as to your life, what you've seen, what you witness, and what you have seen throughout your, where you're at, who you are, and what you've seen throughout your life. And begin to unpeel, if you will, aspects of your life that you may not have thought as significant, or portions of your life, in applying what is being said in these areas. Again, I don't necessarily just suggest you look at one area, but continue to look at many different areas of information. Another I'm going to bring up, and again, I hope no one minds, but I think the loss of any child is tragic regardless of the circumstances, and to the vice president, his son recently died, his eldest son recently died of brain cancer. I think it's important to be both compassionate and also to be vigilant as to what else is going on, because we don't want to just be mindful of the losses so many of us have had to endure, but also that which other people endure. And when you go back, and I'm going to then cut back to the Bible rules, you may also want to go back and pay attention when it brings up Moloch, and this is in the curse, okay? Moloch, M-O-L-O-C-K, or C-H. Moloch is often the term of the owl. It is a, and goes to the Bohemian Grove. So again, start connecting some dots there. And Miss Mary asked me before we came on air, saying that the Patriot Act has, in fact, portions of it have expired. I do not know enough about that to talk to it. I think, again, we need to be mindful and not be reactive, because unless we can read to see which portions have expired versus which portions are still standing, this is not about becoming knee-jerk reactionaries. And that's what these people want to do, both on the left and the right. They often want to get you upset, in fear, and very lost in your thinking and patterns of thinking. It's important to begin seeing about reading up on these things, not just the Internet, because the Internet, virtually anything can be made up on the Internet. It's called, that's called misinformation or disinformation, and it is a means of keeping people shattered, scattered, and not aware of the real facts. And that's really very tragic. You know, depending on what agency you work with or what jobs you work with, it's a need-to-know information, but when you're trying to teach a population how to be supportive both in your local communities, but also throughout the upper echelon in communities, it's very difficult to get support when you keep people in fear or in confusion and yet wanting that kind of support. So I will ask people to begin listening to, if you have radio or TV, I had a very wise friend who suggested to me to listen to both sides of the aisle. If you, regardless of what your belief systems are, it is important to listen to both or all different sides and even the middle ground of people who are talking about these issues. Why? Because you will get multiple perspectives. You may actually see that there are overlapping agreements. You may begin to find a mimicking, even if you're on the right or the left or in the middle someplace, you may actually start hearing a mimicking or a repeating of the same information, and then you have to wonder, well, if both the right, the left, and the middle are all talking the same kind of terminology over and over again, Are they really different agendas? Are they really at odds with each other? Or are they more closely aligned but only appear to be distantly not communicating and cooperating with each other? The other is for your own understanding of beginning to see what's going on so that you do not get trapped up in fear, intimidation, or threats. This is very important because as we move closer and closer to any elected processes, you need to be able to tell who's really running, to be able to see and throw, if you will, the BS flag, so that when people begin to try to rattle you rather than tell you what's going on, that you're not lost repeatedly in the rhetoric, and rhetoric is simply a word of attempting to confuse and walk around something rather than to give you information. So, I know that for weeks we have been talking about some very critical information that very few people really want to deal with. We're going to jump back into that because I think this is a critical issue in this country. And again, as Dr. King and the Kennedys often said, that those of us who have the least, when those of us who have the least are put through severe traumas and abilities, then what we have is we have a true system of inequality. And so I'm going to, and I know that was a paraphrasing of Dr. King's speech, which was, injustice anywhere is, or justice denied anywhere is injustice everywhere, or something of that sort. So I apologize for not having his statement down 100%. But you understand the sentiment and his intention, and his intention has been taken very clearly and very extremely out of balance over the years. And I think that the issues that I do want to present in this section is one that no one is really stepping up to. And again, the brutality which is shown, when we can even have other communities, other nations, whose belief systems are extremely diverse from ours, which is fine for other nations. But when we can have these types of abuses occur in our own country, and yet people want to keep saying that women and children have rights and are equal, or those who have true mental illnesses versus those who've been criminally violated, that they have representation and have rights. These are things that really do not exist. They may occasionally exist, depending on the community you're in, but they certainly are not 100% acknowledged, supported, or protected throughout this country. So with that, I'm going to let you listen to, this is from the University of Chicago, the law school. This is on Trafficking, Prostitution, and Inequality, a public lecture by Catherine McKinnon. And we will go over time with this, but we will begin.
Also a wonderful teacher. She also is running the series, and so I love it that she pro-slavery position for labor these days. The only issue in subjects like trafficking or slavery is defining the term so that nothing anyone does want to defend is covered by the definition. It's also hard to find overt definition or vote overt defenders of inequality. And this is coming at it from the other side. Even as the legal definition of inequality is also largely shaped by existing practices that the powerful want to keep. So it's not like people go out there and say they're for inequality. They just define what is equality and inequality in ways that keeps inequality there. Now, prostitution is not this way. Some people are actually for prostitution. They affirmatively support it. Many more people regard it as politically correct to tolerate and oppose doing anything effective about it. Most people seem to assume that if it isn't exactly desirable, that prostitution is necessary or inevitable or harmless. These views of prostitution lie beneath and surround, it turns out, any debate on sex trafficking. And that's true whether prostitution is distinguished from trafficking or is seen as indistinguishable from it. It's true whether prostitution is seen as a form of sexual freedom or is understood as its ultimate denial. It's the debate on the underlying reality and its relation to inequality that intensifies whenever doing anything effective about either prostitution or trafficking is being considered. So,
now, while this distinguished scholar is speaking, I'm going to bring up a point. And my point is that I don't see a difference between prostitution and human sexual trafficking, because often it all begins with abuse of an individual to the point where they are not given any choices and the people around them, the networks around them, put them into it or threaten them or take all other options of survival, such as denying them the right to work in any other area, which forces them, if they have children, to have to turn to some way of making money. So this is often a system set up on retaliation. So to this, and there are many different ways into this system, all of them, especially when the individuals who have been put into them, the sheer shattering of these people. Now, there may be people out there that says that this was their choice and they clearly have made money and they could walk away anytime. I would say if you remove them long enough out of those systems and the layers upon layers of whatever has transpired in their life is able to be really looked at when they get away from those who have set them up for these systems or put them in or forced them in, I would really clearly begin to then ask what really moved them into those areas. And I would dare to say there were probably a lot more people involved in criminal activities that helped to do that. So let's go back to the lecture. Thank you.
What I found is that wherever you are in the world, the debate, and usually the law as well, is organized around five underlying moral distinctions that divide the really bad from the not so bad. Adult is distinguished from child prostitution, indoor from outdoor, legal from illegal, voluntary from forced, and prostitution itself from trafficking. Now, child prostitution is always bad for children. Adult prostitution is maybe not so bad for adults. Outdoor prostitution can be pretty rough. Indoor prostitution is thought to be less so. Illegal prostitution has problems that legal prostitution, we are told, solves. Forced prostitution is bad. advertised because illegal. A job like any other denies that recognition and a form of sexual liberation. Sex workers are seen as expressing what its academic advocates term their agency. One of the many meanings of this slippery piece of jargon that no one seems to think they have to define, but everybody thinks they're free to use. Agency here appears to mean freely choosing, actively empowering, deciding among life chances, asserting oneself in a feisty fashion, fighting back against forms of femininity, and resisting moralistic stereotypes. Some who take this view see prostitution as an expression of agency, sometimes as potentially, if not always actually, a model of sex equality. The agentic actors, the sex workers, most of them women, control in this view, this is their notion of how this is a form of sexual liberation, control the sexual interaction, are compensated for what is usually expected from women for free, and have lives and anonymous sex with many partners, behaviors you will note usually monopolized by men and hence apparently liberating for women. Regulation, sometimes beginning with unionization. Its goal is